You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first Survivor Stock Watch podcast of all time, I guess, but of also Survivor 41. I'm your host, Karen Armstrong, and I'm here to talk through the Survivor episode in as much detail and depth as possible, looking at the strategy. I did a podcast on the Survivor Winners at War season where we went through each episode with a fine-tooth comb to really try and figure out what was happening there, all the foreshadowing. We talk about, you know, what is the edit trying to tell us? What is actually happening on the beach? As much as we can get into. And then in the Winners at War podcast, we also did the Legacy Watch where we tracked the position of each winner's legacy across the entire season. Obviously, these are all new players here in season 41 of Survivor. So instead of the Legacy Watch, we're doing something that I do over on the Big Brother podcast, which is the Stock Watch, where we are going to make an attempt to run through each player in the game and just give a sense of like how well they're doing, what their stock in the game is. And we will track that week by week to see who goes up and who goes down as the season progresses. And joining me here today to stock watch with me for the first time in Survivor is Asia. How you doing, Asia?
Hey, Taryn. I'm doing well. This will be a little weird to talk to you about Survivor because we all have always talked about just Big Brother and then sprinkle a little like circle in there. So I'm very excited. I have on my tropical shirt for the occasion. And, you know, last night was, I swear, the busiest night in reality TV history between Survivor, Big Brother, the new batch of Circle episodes, Married at First Sight, The Challenge, but Survivor took priority last night. So I'm ready to talk all about it.
Yeah, and what a premiere, too. I really enjoyed it. Usually Big Brother ends the same night that Survivor premieres, if not before. We have this weird situation right now where Big Brother is still going on. But who cares? It's not good.
Right.
So we're here to talk Survivor, which is much more exciting at this moment. And I really approach Survivor from the same sort of lens that I approach Big Brother. Big Brother gives me a ton of information and I filter through it trying to find the most important information. Survivor gives me a tiny bit of information, but I'm still trying to parse through it and figure out what I can glean from it as much as possible. So let's get into it. We're gonna run through the episode bit by bit and try and discuss, you know, what we think is important, what tells us what about what's happening with the strategy of the game, and then we're gonna go through the players one by one and give essentially a grade, a rating on how well we think they're doing based on what we were able to see. With, of course, the caveat being, we have no idea. Right. And it's entirely up to the edit to tell us how well they're doing, but we will do our best. What this is not going to be is a rating of their edgic potential. Now I will talk about what I think the edit is trying to tell us in terms of who's going to do well. And I think I will talk about what the edit is trying to tell us in terms of, you know, who they're trying to say is good at the game, because you can have a situation where the edgic is saying this person is going to be successful, even if they're not doing particularly well right now.
Right.
Or you can have a situation where the edit is telling you this person's making a really good move right now, but they're still probably not going to win. So we're going to try and make that distinction as well.
Yeah. And it's such a weird balance with trying to read the edit, because even with the premiere, I was like, okay, who are we seeing the most from? And I know Rob talked about this on the Know It Alls last night, but it was like, okay, I've seen so much from Tiffany. So, you know, naturally that's what I'm feeling is going to happen. So it's very interesting, but yeah, I love this premiere. I was just so happy to have Survivor back. And just, you know, I know we're about to get started with the beginning of the episode. It just gave me chills getting to see everything that we saw with breaking down the fourth wall.
Yes. So one more thing before we get into this, the Stockwatch in Big Brother is a game that you can play if you go to realitystockwatch.com. The website is not yet set up for Survivor, so we are not prepared for a Survivor game quite yet. This is an experimental run. We have no data on how the Stockwatch ratings or formula will work for Survivor. So we're going to get some data in. We're going to continue to work on the website. There may be a game ready for you guys at some point during the season if you're interested in trying it out this season as a sort of test run. But hopefully we will have some kind of gamified version of this for you in future seasons, you know, people enjoy the one from Big Brother. So, we're going to work on, some way to translate it here for Survivor, but let's get into the episode.
A game within a game. If you know.
You might say that. Yes.
You might say that.
Yeah. RHAP, GWG.com. Right. I don't know if that's been registered yet. Right. All right. Well, we're here. Survivor 41. It has been a while. And Jeff is so happy to be here.
I'm so happy I'm here.
I'm happy I'm here. I love this sound clip already. I'm going to play it again.
I'm so happy I'm here.
So much enthusiasm. And I'm pumped. I really enjoyed the vibe from the episode right away. I felt like they really put a lot of care into it. They really care about like making it seem fresh and throwing the enthusiasm into it. And that's what I enjoy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, we're here. Like, we felt like we were walking on that beach with Jeff, you know? So it was like, I liked the personal touch where he's talking to us. And I know, you know, that's what he's going for. We're going along this with him, which is, it's very appropriate in that we all miss Survivor. So the fact that, you know, even if they decide not to continue this past like maybe season 4-2, it's still very nice to have it with this season.
Yes. And right away, Jeff says there's a new advantage. It's called the beware advantage. And he's going to hide it in a tree trunk that's going to come up later, which was very cool.
Yeah.
But it comes with a risk, he says, as most of these twists seem to, that are introduced in this premiere. As far as I'm aware, we still have no indication of what this is. Mm-hmm. I tried to pause it and like zoom in on what was written on the paper, but I could not read it. We really don't know what this is. The beware advantage, you know, maybe it gives you like a heads up if you're about to be voted out. Along with the shot advantage, right? Like,
yeah,
could be combined into something a little more valuable, but that seems like, I don't know how valuable that is. And also very little talk about immunity idols other than people searching for them.
Right.
I don't know where those are, if those are going to be in the game at this time either or at the same time. Obviously a heads up about the vote plus an immunity idol would be even more advantageous, but, who knows?
Yeah, it could be a beware this immunity challenge or this type of immunity challenge is coming up, and it's maybe up to the person to decide if they want it to benefit their tribe or if they want to wait until individual immunity to use it on themselves. You know, it could be something that helps in a challenge in some type of way.
Maybe it, beware to me just screams like you get information, you get a warning about something. So maybe it allows you to, get information on where some advantages lie in the game, who has idols, who has extra votes, maybe something.
Right.
Who knows?
Oh, that would be really cool. Like if you just know, okay, there are two idols that have been found And that's all you know. You don't know if it's on your beach. You don't know what, you know, that would be really cool.
Could be interesting. So some other changes. It's 26 days. Obviously, a lot has been made about this in the preseason. I don't know that I expect it to change all that much, apart from just the psychology of the players who go in thinking maybe they need to play even harder right away. But I'm cool with that if they think that. Really, to me, 26 days versus 39 is not that much of a difference in terms of, like, I watch Big Brother where they play for upwards of 100 days and they could easily play it in 26 days. Like, it wouldn't change that much in that amount of difference. So I don't think 13 days is going to make that much of a difference either, personally.
Yeah, and I think the fact that most of the cast are such huge fans, the fact that they know it's 13 days shorter, it make, like you said, it's the psychology of the player. They think, oh my gosh, I got to put it in an overdrive because I have less time. I don't have that much time to do everything that I want to do. So I think it's just in their head because, you know, yeah, like you said, it's really not. I mean, because if you think about other seasons at day 26, it doesn't always feel like there's that much time left. You're like, wow, okay, it ends in 13 days. So it'll be interesting to see if it does actually affect anything.
Mm-hmm. We've got small tribes, no rice, and you know, again, the monster is here. I was no mention of the monster in this episode, as far as I'm aware.
Right. But like, did they nix it?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like maybe something they came up with after the fact. We then get to intro the players a little bit. Evie starts us off. She talks about, or they talk about being excited to be here. Danny is a former NFL player, big fan of the show. Tiffany mentions that she was an alternate, also says she was a big fan of the show. One of the themes here, or one of the new things they're doing, is they're kind of showing behind the curtain a little bit and, you know, showing us the crew in certain shots. And also just out of the gates, somebody opening with, I was an alternate. That's awesome. Yeah. I love the extra layer of transparency personally.
Me too. So like, we know, you know, that these things are a thing. Like, we know that people go through casting. We know that there was supposed to be a season last year. And so I'm glad that they're not hiding it. We know that there is a crew. It's just always been just this mystery. So I love it that they're showing this. I love that someone's saying, you know, I was supposed to be on last season in front of everybody. I think it's interesting because I wonder, is anyone going to read into it? Like, if somebody else, you know, they weren't in consideration last time and they are this time, and they're thinking like, okay, what is it about that person that makes that casting saw something that special in them to carry them forward through to this season? But I hope other shows look at this and model themselves after that. Cause it's like, why not?
Yeah. So we hear from JD, who talks about being a big fan. He was born after the show started. A lot of them have these like built-in lines that they know they want said in the early portion of the season. Voce, I believe, is David Voce, has been on the front lines of the pandemic. He's excited to play the game. Shan is the mafia pastor, she calls herself. Yeah. And those are the people who all get their own kind of built-in intros. Evie, Danny, Tiffany, JD, Voce, and Shan. Then Sarah, Deshaun, Erica, Xander all get kind of one-liners as part of a montage. And those are the people that we open up the season with. It's worth noting.
Right.
So then Jeff again tells us,
I'm so happy I'm here.
As he introduces... he says, we need us some survivor. And then Jeff plays a game, which is very fitting for the first Stockwatch of the Survivor season. He asks them,
give me a number 1 to 10 and describe what that number feels like.
And that's the rules. He's just setting up the Stockwatch for us because that's what we're going to be doing later.
Exactly.
This is when Nasir tells us he learned English watching Survivor. Heather's been watching for 20 years. And then Jeff does his whole, come on in guys thing, which, I'm sure has already been talked to death, but super awkward to ask a cast of players who just got there. Hey, you know, I am the, person who's been on TV for over 20 years. You are the people who just, got here. You've never been on television before. I would love to ask your advice on how I should act as a TV host. And I would love to really just put the entire onus on you to make the decision for me. Oh, you're all cool with it? There you go. Millions of people, 18 people just said it was cool. So it's been discussed. It's been decided.
Oh my gosh. I was just cringing because this like guy's terminology. I remember having conversations about this like in high school and I'm 29. So it's like this conversation has been around where, you know, it is a little bit questionable to group people. Like some people don't have a preference. And then some people care to generalize and say guys when referring to a group of men, women, any group of people. And so I thought this was, yeah, they're literally fresh on the sand. They're probably shell shocked of just like, oh my gosh, I'm here. Jeff is talking to me. What's happening right now? And then you want them to speak up and tell you to change something you've been doing for 40 seasons before, even if they felt, you know, like any inkling of wanting to change it. No one wants to be the first person to say, yeah, actually, I would prefer to do that, because you're one of 18. Automatically, you stand out. Automatically.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention what we have seen, which is that the audience will then use you as a lightning rod for this whole issue. So yeah. really weird decision there. But Jeff says, you know what? Drop the four, keep the one. This is a new era of Survivor. So we get to the first challenge. They have to get all six paddles, unclip the boat, go around. Blue gets out first. Just something I noticed in this is that Jeff tells when the blue tribe gets out, and I'm going to call them the blue tribe, the green tribe, and the yellow tribe for your own sakes as much as mine. When the blue tribe gets out, he does not say, hey, you have to unclip both. They just go out. When the green tribe is unclipping, he goes, hey, you have to unclip both of the clips there. And then as the blue tribe is literally paddling in place, he's like, it's almost as if you guys are anchored.
Yeah.
Is it almost as if they're anchored, Jeff? Why didn't they get a heads up?
Exactly. I was like, I felt so bad for them, especially with like Danny right there, like being the big guy, you know, okay, why is this not going anywhere? They could literally all pick up their paddles and he paddles alone and they would have made some leeway. And so I was like, that was an interesting choice to you know, clarify certain things at certain points.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Blue Tribe is going to end up winning immunity as well. I think that they would have won this challenge as well. If Jeff, because the Green Tribe hadn't noticed the clip before Jeff said it either. So assuming this is how it actually played out, which of course it might not have. Again, we are beholden to this edit. Maybe he did say it to Blue and they just didn't hear it. And it would be silly to show it when they didn't see it. But that's how it goes. Green is going to win. And yellow never finds their ore, which they feel very, silly about, but it happens. It's a very crowded boat of things.
I love that Voce tried to go up the ladder to where Jeff was.
Jeff was like, dude, I promise you there's nothing up here. Do not encroach upon my personal space. Right. It's not how this works.
Yeah, he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. He like drops the excited Jeff and he's like, hey.
Yeah, it's like in an escape room. They're like, hey, no, don't touch that. Right. That's not part of it.
Yeah. They needed like a little sticker like they have in escape rooms. Like, do not touch. On Jeff's ladder.
Do you think when they show up on the set that they're all given like the guys, don't touch Jeff. Just don't. Okay. Don't touch him.
Whatever you do.
Some people don't listen to that advice, I think.
Right. Yeah. He's gotten hugs and everything. So just this season, you know, we're in a new era. Drop the four.
New era.
Leave the one. Don't touch Jeff.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So we get to the beach. We're going to get to know these tribes. We're going to start with the green tribe who won this challenge. And we hear from Sarah right away that she talks about losing her grandmother to COVID. They watched Survivor together and she's here to play for her. This was, even more sad watching it the second time around, for me, because we know how it plays out for Sarah. And this is a very sweet story and I'm glad that she got to tell it before her ultimate demise here.
Right. And in her exit interview, she was just like, whoa, she's like, she knew she talked about it. And then her seeing it so early in the episode, she's like, whoa, okay, they went there. All right. It's right there. And I mean, because of her demise, they had to introduce her story then. I could very well see a situation where if she hadn't, gone home, then it would have, they probably would have saved it, you know, for a certain point in the season. But yeah, very unfortunate and very sad.
We hear from Brad. We learn that he is a cattle rancher, and his father, I guess, also just recently died of cancer just a week mm-hmm. before coming out, which I was not aware of. And that is certainly brutal. And it seems like, you know, apart from some strange strategic behavior later on, like a pretty nice guy, very positive, just wants to get the most out of the experience. I'm sure we'll talk more about Brad later. Then we hear from JD, who says he has been practicing making fire all year in preparation for this. And he makes it for the tribe right out of the gate. And right out of the gate, I was like, ooh, I don't know if that's the right call. I mean, we've seen some people even just last season be very successful in hiding their ability to make fire because we know that a fire making challenge is how the final four is decided. And that means that hiding your ability to make fire can be very useful, and being somebody that can make fire very quickly, very effectively, could put a big target on your back in preparation for the final four if you're not careful. Or not to mention the final four itself.
Right.
So didn't love this right away from JD.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm going to have that feeling with JD a lot this season because he is so pumped to be there, right? And it's overtaking his ability to kind of think strategically because he's so excited. He was so pumped to be the first one to make fire. Like, he's like, this is a milestone, making fire and Survivor. Yes, like, he's so excited. And so it's just like, you know, they keep saying like, oh, 21 is so young, or 20, so he was born in 2001, you know, 20 is so young, and, you know, he's still an adult. So that aside, the way he was with his Survivor experience, even during the premiere, is just like a little kid in a candy store. And it's like, they're given like $50. So it's just like, oh my gosh, I can do so much. I'm so excited. Like, I don't know where to start. I don't know. And you saw that with just how he was trying to talk to everybody. I want to have a conversation with everybody. And so, yeah, I feel like this fire making was the start. And I have JD in the draft, so totally rooting for him. But you can't overlook how eager he was during this premiere. And I really hope that doesn't like come back to bite him.
Yeah, he seems very overeager. And a lot of his mistakes seem like they're tied to that one sort of flaw in his game.
Yeah.
He is so young and happy to be there. And he's like a big fan of the show and just like every single thing, even just the way that he talks later about like, when I'm gone, it would be very easy for them to be like, hey, look at us here. We don't even need that guy, which is just such a like classic sort of Survivor line to even be talking about. But he's like excitedly talking about it, even though it might happen to him. And like that is like he is just like, yeah, this is the person. He's like, this is awesome. I'm going to do all this. I'm going to lie about what I did. I'm going to make fire. I'm going to do this thing. And so, you know, we'll see where that goes for JD ultimately.
And it's so weird, too, because you like watch because you're like, you're excited for him because he's so excited. And, you know, like he's truly living a dream. He said faith, family, survivor. That's his life. So I'm like watching. I'm just like, oh, slow down. What are you doing? I'm happy for you. But wait, too much. So, yeah, that's just we're seeing that that's his game. That's going to be his game.
Mm-hmm. So we're then going to head over to the Yellow Tribe and. We hear from Liana, who says that we all looked like idiots, but we can only go up from here. Evie is then going to narrate for us the next challenge we get, Savvy or Sweat, where the tribe is offered a decision between counting triangles and having one guess at it, or doing a like hours long physical task for two of the tribe members. And the reward is that you get your basic supplies, and stuff. So, both tribes are ultimately going to pick the sweat, part of it, which makes sense to me considering that, the triangle challenge, you know, is everyone takes part in it. You get one guess. It's not a guarantee that you get your supplies. The sweat challenge is you're basically guaranteed the supplies. It just is going to be a lot of work for two people. But as you know, Survivor players in the past have been able to note, 2 into 6 does not equal a majority, and so probably most tribes would end up picking the sweat.
Right, and as we can see on Twitter, with everyone guessing, and we have we've had almost 24 hours at this point, and people are still guessing wrong. So I think that they made the right call to go with sweat, especially because I think it would have taken a significant amount of time to arrive at the right answer. Which, do you know what the right answer is?
Was it? Well, I think I saw 51 was the right answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw someone that tweeted it out and made the, I don't even know, wrote some type of script to figure it out. But yes, yeah. That's what it took because I did it and I came up short somewhere around 41. So good call.
There you go. We hear from Voce, who says he wants to do the savvy. He wants to do the triangles because he knows that probably he would be chosen to do the sweat. And you would have to be an idiot to be one of the two people to go for sweat. But he says he has to ultimately agree to it because he can't be the one, you know, standing out being like, nah, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. So he's ended up being the moron running across the beach back and forth. And this is a very endearing, I think, sort of, you know, segment here for Voce, who I think a lot of people expected to be a much more extreme version of what we saw in that segment.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, people expected him to be the guy who would have been like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah, that's why I was shocked he didn't press it more. And I was like, if he truly didn't want it, he did a terrible job convincing. But then I was like, maybe it was just a matter of preference. And then he realized, okay, this is I'm fighting a losing battle. Let me just do it. But if he hadn't spoken up, would it have been someone else? Like, couldn't it have been like Xander and Liana?
I think Xander suggested himself and David. And then you know, Voce was like, you know, my one concern about that would be that we would be exhausted after, but you know, I'd be down. And then Liana was like, great, you're down.
Yeah. No one's going to be like, oh no. I want to do it. I want to spend 4 hours doing this. So that was funny because I was like, it did kind of take away that like grenade factor we thought he had. Cause I was like, okay, maybe he will be okay.
Yes. And I like how he's thinking here as well. I think that it is a good thought. You don't want to be away from your tribe right away. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of early bonds are made. You don't know how long this is going to take. If for some reason you don't succeed, now you really look bad to the tribe.
Yeah.
And I think that he was thinking of all the right reasons, but there is still some upside to this, especially if you do succeed. I think there is a way that you can spin this into your favor. As long as you can sort of get some gratitude out of the tribe for having accomplished the goal. They're probably going to be happy with you as long as it doesn't take too long. They've probably been busy with sheltering and not, had enough time to really strategize behind your back. So I don't know if it was quite as big a deal as he made it out to be, but
yeah, as long as you focus on the task at, yeah, as long as you focus on the task at hand, then nothing else will happen.
Yes. So we go over to the Blue Tribe. And Sydney tells us that Deshaun and Danny immediately agreed to do sweat. Look, she says, we're not going to try to do savvy. We couldn't even unclip a boat.
Great point.
Danny tells us he's going to put the work in. That's what he's here for. And this is a new era of Survivor. We heard a lot from Danny from the Blue Tribe here. Very little from Deshaun, who is his sort of partner in crime in this endeavor. But they're going to be working on that. And then we see on the Green Tribe that we get some personal stories from Jeannie and Ricard. Jeannie, who has been married since she was 25, and her mom was very supportive of her in a time when, being gay was very stigmatized. And we hear from Ricard that he fell in love and got married very quickly. He left a small daughter at home and he is here to make a big impact on his life. So we really got a lot of these personal stories thrown in throughout the episode, which I did really enjoy. Especially from Jeannie, who we didn't really see much else from her.
Right. And I love the way Survivor has a way of doing this because it really allows us to like them or like develop a connection with the players quicker than having to spend, five weeks, which is five episodes, trying to figure out, when it's 18 people, as long as we hear, or as long as we get these like elements, like at this point, people know Jeannie and, if can connect with Jeannie and, can find even though I may not have seen much strategy or anything, I like her. I could root for her. Survivor has a great way of making it so that you can root for more people than just like the main people on the screen, which in this case, this episode was a lot of JD, a lot of Danny, a lot of Xander. So yeah.
Yeah. Very well paced. And I felt like, and I said this when I was watching it live, but I got a better sense of who these players are as humans than I've gotten in 30 some episodes of Big Brother, episodes at least, because Big Brother is so bad at this in recent seasons. But we hear those two stories. We go back to Blue and we're going to see that Danny and Deshaun have bonded as they're doing their task. They seem to have developed an early alliance. They start looking for some idols in between their back and forth. And Nasir catches them not working. And Nasir is like, how could they? I was the one that said no strategy talks while they're away and they're out there doing strategy. And so he goes, well, that's it. All bets are off. And he goes and he tries to gather everyone together and he exposes Deshaun and Danny for not working. And he says, I think that we should just vote them out. This is our final four right here. And I don't think they're even going to finish at this point. And you can kind of see where he's coming from. You just got a little bit of ammunition. He can use this to bond with people and maybe get in, to a group. But the way he goes about this was just not
awful,
not the right way. way too much here. Talking about Final Fours, I think, the way that you need to do this, if you catch them doing that, you go back to the camp and you go, that's weird. I went to go, give Danny and Deshaun some water or whatever, and they weren't there. I don't know where they are.
Right.
Let them come to the conclusion that you just have to plant a seed. You don't need to take the bucket of water and go, hey,
Exactly. It was because there were a couple things with this situation. Like, number one, I did like that Nasir thought to go look. You know, I'm not sure if the other tribe checked on like Voce and Xander while they were doing it. But I did like that he went to go look because that tells me that, you know, he's thinking outside of the box. He is being aware. But then, you know, yes, he could have come back and let them come to their own conclusion, or he could have come back and just sat on the information, at least wait to see if they actually finish.
Yes.
If they don't finish, perfect. Let me go have a conversation with someone that I've developed a relationship with at this point. Maybe one person, not the entire rest of the tribe, because you don't know what they're going to say. You don't know if you can trust them. And literally exactly what I thought would happen. I was like, you don't know if they've had a small little conversation before this, walking up from the boat to the sand. You don't know who's connected with who at this point. And you don't know if this is going to come back and bite you. So it was just like, it was way too risky to just go be the one to say something immediately.
Yeah, it's like he just got a little nugget of information and just immediately went, oh, I'm going to pass this on. And he gave other people nuggets of information. Now other people have the nugget of information that hey, Nasir seems to be anti Danny and Deshaun. Now exactly. I can use this to my advantage, and they're probably going to use it better, as we'll see.
Right.
So we do hear from Erica that she was a little sketched out by the fact that they weren't working, but this seems to go away by the end of the episode. We don't really hear much more from Erica throughout the episode. We go back to the Yellow Tribe, and Liana tells us that she is tight with Evie. Evie is her number one. She seems very genuine. Evie talks with Liana about how she thinks that Voce and Xander are probably going to be bonding a lot over this challenge. And that doesn't threaten her. In fact, she thinks that they should work with those two pairs working together. I love this thought process from Evie. The sort of forethought to know this is probably going to bond these two men. And then the insight to think, okay, I don't need to be threatened by that. I don't need to be like, oh, let's use this against them. Why don't I use this in my advantage? And try to get with them, knowing that they are probably bonded. And that knowledge and the acceptance of them having bonded is probably going to give her a leg up when it comes to figuring out, or when it comes to them choosing who they want to work with. So love this right away from Evie.
Yeah, Evie really impressed me this episode. I was impressed with their interviews beforehand, but just everything was so intentional. The way that they intentionally built a relationship with Liana, they were in conversations with, what was it, Abraham and others when they were in the water saying what they wanted to do about Tiffany. And so there were multiple points throughout the episode that I was really impressed with Evie. And so I really do like this bond between Evie and Liana. I think it's solid. I don't think it's anything that's going to be fickle and just like, oh yeah, I forgot that we connected. So I'm excited for what I'm going to see with Evie.
Yes. And they're also going to play down their job a bit and talk about how they're here to make genuine relationships, which is usually a decent sign.
Right.
We hear from Abe that he is all about winning. If they can't win, he needs to find a fall person. And that person is Tiffany, that she performed the worst in the challenge. And he pitches it to Evie that they should maybe pitch it to Evie and Liana that we should get rid of Tiffany if we have to. But Liana is going to quickly rat this out to Tiffany, who we then transition to Tiffany telling us her story. She has she has a lot of social skills and resilience. She's not going to go down easy in this game. She is what they call a previvor, having elected to get various surgeries to prevent her from getting cancer, which ultimately saved her life. This is not the end of what we get from Tiffany, but it was, and I know Rob and Steven talked about this, sort of what made me feel like maybe we're also going to lose Tiffany since we're getting her story. We heard nothing from Abraham or what his story is, but they really did, flip that around on us there.
Yeah, they tricked us. They really did. Because I felt like we really got a good sense of who Tiffany is. That with her preemptive mastectomy and just her whole story and the flashbacks, and, you know, it got us to a point where it's like, no, okay, I like her. I wouldn't want her to go home. And, you know, with Abraham, I still, to this, like, besides anything that he clarified before the season, I did not get a great sense of who he is as a human being. Did you think that it was a great idea to plant the seed before the immunity challenge for Abraham?
Or Abraham, right, right. I mean, it's really hard to tell because, ultimately when we look at Abraham as a player, why did he get voted out here? The mistake could have been what you're saying, that he went too early. He didn't know the tribe dynamics well enough. He went for somebody that he shouldn't have gone for. But I mean, given the layout of the tribe, knowing that Evie and Liana were a duo, knowing that, Xander and Voce ultimately side with them, can he get the votes on David or Voce? Probably not at that point, Voce or Xander. probably not. He's going to talk in his exit interviews about how he was relying on the fact that he was strong in challenges and a contributor to the work at camp. And so it didn't really make sense for him to campaign for somebody else, like one of the guys, to go. And so, Tiffany seems like, sort of the right target there for him. Yeah. But, the fact that it's immediately ratted out to Tiffany honestly tells me that he probably was never in a spot where he was going to be okay here, even if he hadn't pitched it.
Yeah, I didn't think he was long for this game at all, because another thing that stood out to me was when he was talking to Evie. And just to clarify, I see some people talk about it in the chat. Evie does, their pronouns are she and they. So Evie, in that conversation with Evie and Abraham goes, what kind of game do you want to play? Why would you ask that? Like, if someone plans to play this like conniving, backstabby game, they're not going to tell you. Like, why? And so that question alone made me feel like, whether it was this episode or in a couple, Abraham was not long for that beach.
So we go back over to the Green Tribe, and JD is talking to Sarah about how they're two of the youngest people in the cast and how young people don't do well on Survivor. So let's change that. That seemed like an interesting line to throw in here, especially knowing that Sarah and JD ultimately are going to end up on opposite sides of the vote, and Sarah's going to be going home. This, I think, might be a good thing for the JD edit ultimately, even though it felt like for the most part, the edit was dunking on JD at every opportunity, while also propping him up as a character. It does feel like he might be long for this game, just based on, a couple of small things like this. He says that, hey, he wanted to play slow, but this game has been injected with jet fuel. It's only 26 whatever days. And noticeably as well, as JD explains his strategy and he talks about, working with different people on the tribe, we do get a few shots already of Ricard giving him disapproving. Yeah. So
it looks good. Kill. Yeah. Ricard has that down pat. Oh my gosh. I was like, you can read his whole face about how he's feeling about somebody.
Mm-hmm. We hear, JD and Brad talk about working together, being tight together. This is clearly something that's going to end up mattering for the vote and likely mattering moving forward. They, to me, seem like one of the tighter duos, at least up until tribal, when it gets a little weird between them. but this is, I think, vital to JD's, survival this week, is that, he firmly has Brad on his side. He says the game is about to get real fast. So here we go.
It's just like if you're like in a car that, like, especially in Texas, like our speed limits are like 80 miles per hour. So it felt like I was in a car on a Texas highway that was going like 95 And it was just like, oh no, we're going to get to where we're going. And it's just like, oh my gosh, no, can we slow down? You seem like a fair, like a fine driver, but like you're holding on tight. That's what it's like watching JD run around. But like you said, with his relationship with Brad, that really helped him. I felt like him going around and having these little conversations with everyone, you know, it stuck with certain people like Shan, like Brad, like Jeannie. But then with Sarah, she's just like, whoa, you think as, you know, I thought it was a fine statement to make, like as the younger people, we should stick together. But Sarah clearly didn't like that by going back and talking to Ricard. But it could just be that Ricard and Sarah had a stronger relationship.
Yeah, you know, this really feels like a tale of two survivor strategies. Where JD was really just like out of the gates. This is jet fuel injected survivor. I'm talking to everyone. And Sarah, and again, in her exit interview, she said she really did try to like play it a bit more low key. She saw Shan running around talking to everyone. She got sketched out by that. She saw JD running around talking to everyone. She got sketched out by that. She was like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person that gets other people sketched out because of running around too much. I'm gonna play this slow. I'm gonna you know, develop relationships. And ultimately Sarah's the one that fails here, and it's JD that's going to succeed with the relationships that he built. And ultimately it seems like it was Shan's choice at the end of the day. And you know, who knows? We say this as well, but you know, maybe it was just that Brad genuinely felt like JD was a better competitor, and wanted to keep JD in because of that, or whatever it is. Again, always the caveat with Survivor that we know very little about what actually happened on that island, and we have to go only based on what we saw in the edit.
Right. And it could be that Brad is a simple guy and he already thought, like, with the puzzle, okay, it's between Shan and Sarah. And so, you know, that definitely helped in JD's favor. But yeah, like you said, I lost it. I had a point and it's gone.
It happens. Well, Ricard lets us know that he feels like JD is here to play and he is intense. There's just something untrustworthy right now with him. He talks with Sarah and Shan, and Sarah says she has also been rubbed the wrong way by JD. Ricard says if they had to go to tribal now, feels like JD should be the one to be voted out. And this is when we hear from Shan, who says active listening is huge in this game. She wants people to trust her. And they won't see her cut their throat in the end. And so we see her speaking to Brad, saying, I'm with you to the end. We see her with JD saying, I'm with you. She says to us, I'm working everyone. I've even got my own soundtrack. I work. I hum while I'm working evil.
Yes. Do you have the soundtrack?
I don't. I did not get the soundtrack.
You didn't catch it.
It was too long of a soundtrack to have as a clip. But
yeah, it was, I thought that was hilarious. I think it just showed me she's going to be really fun to watch when she's talking to us. She's going to be really fun to watch in the game because she honestly, I didn't know where she sat because she was so believable with every single person. It was just, it wasn't like, oh, she doesn't seem as genuine when she's talking to Sarah and Ricard. So I think we know what's going to happen. She is like, I would have believed, you know, that she wasn't voting anybody out because she was so believable. And so I think that's really going to help her until, you know, until there comes a point where, you know, someone is maybe doesn't go home that thought they had that trusted her and with the right, with the wrong vote or something like that. But I was really impressed with the fact that she knew everything that was out there on their tribe, even before, you know, the meeting the challenge and even after.
Yes, very strong performance here in the premiere for Shan.
Yeah.
We go back over to the Blue Tribe, and we see that they have finally completed the sweat challenge. Yellow has as well, but we mostly see from Blue that Danny saying the risk paid off because we finished the task. And this is when Sydney goes to Nasir and lets him know, Sydney goes to Deshaun and lets him know that Nasir was trying to paint a target on their backs. And Deshaun is like, whoa, not cool. I want this guy gone.
Yeah, he didn't deny it, though.
Yes. So this is, you know, most of what we see from the Blue Tribe from this point. is that we do see that Deshaun and Danny seem to have some kind of alliance. Sydney, I gotta say, I noticed a couple times when Nasir was talking, Sydney just, I don't know if this is just Sydney or if it's just that she doesn't like Nasir that much, but she just doesn't seem super like responsive to Nasir. Like she doesn't seem to be the biggest Nasir fan. It wasn't super surprising to me that she was the one that ultimately ratted him out to Deshaun. I don't know if this means that, you know, Sydney is just going to be a wild card in the tribe or if she is linked with Deshaun and Danny as well. You know, I think at the very least, you know, she is now involved in this sort of back and forth and perhaps is going to be seen as an ally for Deshaun and Danny, which puts her in a pretty good place in the tribe. This is the tribe we get the least from, though, because they don't end up going to tribal. So it's going to be the toughest to figure out where these players stand.
She had no reaction to Nasir's news, which is what made me realize. I was like, she's not into him. It was very much so, oh, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not listening. And yeah. But Erica was very clear, like, oh my gosh. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then we get to the next twist of the season, of the episode. It's a prisoner's dilemma and actually called a prisoner's dilemma in the episode, which was nice as well, because they've done this before in Big Brother and other shows, but they never actually like call it out for what it is. They act like they created this concept. Yeah. we get introduced to this by, first of all, more Sydney content. She says she likes challenging herself. That's what she's here for. You know, Sydney is somebody that we did get a decent amount of content from in the tribe itself. It was really, I would say, Danny, then Sydney, then Deshaun. And then, of course, we got that one bit from Nasir, but that was very vital to what was happening in terms of the drama there. Very little from Erica and next to nothing from Heather. You know, it seems like the main players there so far are those four. And then even then, it seems like Nasir may just be there to be the first one out so far. So interesting to note there.
Yeah, I did think it was interesting, like even going back to the boat when they were still tied to the anchor, Danny was very quiet. Like he's been relatively quiet when it seems like there needs to be a leader speaking up for things, which I kind of thought, I think his personality is a little bit opposite of what I got in the preseason interviews. I thought he was going to be more of like a Abraham who was like taking the lead, like making the decisions. But it could just be his physique. You know, he has that physique that seems very dominant, but Danny seemed to be very much so like, you know, I'm here to do what I can do, you know, get to know people, but I'm not really going to be the one taking charge.
He seems in that classic archetype of like, he is so obviously like the physically most fit guy, most sort of like, you know, NFL player, like alpha, like, hey, I'm the leader, but I don't want to be the leader. Yeah. I'm going to be chill. But then still kind of like ends up, all right, yeah, I'll do the bucket thing. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll go on the boat and I'll do this for us. And it seems like, again, it's sort of like naturally gravitating in that direction, even though he's trying to play it chill. So we'll see where that goes. Yeah. But there's a visitor on a boat. Somebody needs to come with the guy on the boat for a thing. We hear from both Sydney and Deshaun. They don't want to go. This is not what they're into. So Danny ends up volunteering. He says, I came out here to play. So let's take a gamble. Second time in a row that he's talking about making a gamble, which is, again, interesting to note since he is the one person who does not risk his vote ultimately. Right. So we are getting, I like that sort of, you know, like he'll gamble when he thinks it makes sense, but if he doesn't think it makes sense, he's not going to, you know, go off too much. On the Yellow Tribe, we see that they immediately suggest Xander and he's down. And this is, again, like Xander was the one to be like, me and Voce will do it when it came to the buckets. And with this one, he was like, yeah, I'm down to do this one as well. He is very chill with that. Evie tells us, they all feel best about Xander. They trust him not to lie about it. So this is very telling in terms of how they're seeing Xander. And based on what we get from him throughout the rest of this episode, it seems to make a lot of sense. He just has a very calming presence.
Yes. Yes. That tone of voice. Like I could probably listen to him read me a book and I would be happy about that. Like it's very unique. It's not typical, how you would expect someone, like, cause he presented himself like a frat guy, right? He talks about, you know, being in a fraternity, preseason. And so I just didn't expect that voice from him. And so, it was very pleasing, but I do like that even if he does plan to be conniving, he is coming off that way, coming off very honest, very trustworthy right now, because this perception is going to stick. And so they're not going to be surprised if he does ultimately decide to switch things up at some point, which is really going to work in his favor.
Yeah. So then we go to the Green Tribe and they're going to draw rocks to see who goes. This was a little surprising to me considering what we know about Brad, or at least my perception of Brad. I would have imagined that he would have been a guy to be like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
but they draw rocks instead, and JD pulls the white rock. He's a little worried that it might put a target on his back, but it is what it is. Again, he's like, they could be like, hey, we don't need this guy. He's not here.
Yeah.
So they all get together, JD, Danny, and Xander, and they are told to get to know each other as they do a little hike, which looked very fun, by the way.
Nice. Yeah. Nice little hike.
Yeah. Danny is going to be denying that he's a pro football player. Yes. And we also we didn't get him explaining that to us either. It wasn't like, I'm not telling them that I'm from the NFL. I used to be on this team. Just kind of casually, just like throws it in there that he played in college and that was it. No further elaboration, which was nice considering how often they really, you know, harp on that.
Right. I mean, It's risky though, because, you know, he played for the Dallas Cowboys, which is, you know, people see Dallas Cowboys as America's team. I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. Grew up in Dallas. So I think it's very risky if, you know, at some point someone recognizes him. Like it wouldn't be far off for somebody who follows the NFL to know who he is. So I thought it was risky to say that, but maybe he's confident at this point now that everybody's seen each other. He hasn't heard any rumblings of it, that it's safe to say he capped off at college. But I don't know any college football players that look like him. So I'm like, you've been doing something to continue the physique that you have now.
That's when JD tells them and us about how he was a track star. He's an athlete. And this is just a big sweeping segment. Loved the cinematography throughout the episode personally. The different montages they did, the occasional like slow-mo shots. I loved it all. Just like it's just the effort that they're putting into it. Like, go for it. Like,
yes.
This is a reality show. Like, be as experimental as you want. Like, I don't need it to be this clinical thing. Like I've seen some people complain about it here, there, and there, but like, I loved it. I make it as dramatic and, you know, big as you want.
I thought it was beautiful, especially that intro shot with Jeff, where it was like, we're following him on the beach and then they go all the way out like they always do. But I just like that. I was like, wait a second. We were just with him. I was like, that was beautiful the way that was done.
So he tells us, JD tells us that you might not believe it, but I was not always this amazing and cool. I was actually a nerd. And he says that watching Survivor inspired him. He wants to be like Ozzy and Wu. In a secret scene, he's going to talk about how he also loves Joe. So he's really trying to be that guy. He says, I'm the guy that started fire on day one. Like, this is who I've wanted to be my entire life. I am a Survivor player. And it's just so endearing. In the context of seeing all of these other mistakes, again, that they're really portraying as mistakes for him, we're also kind of rooting for him. And that's why I feel like that dichotomy, smushed together for JP tells me, I feel like he's going to be around for a little while.
Right. Because we know so much about him at this point, and we, whatever feelings people have towards him, they're there now. They have feelings for him. And so it's like, it would be it would have felt awful for him to go home, because you felt like, oh my gosh, such a huge character has just gone. Like someone that, you know, I thought could cause like some rumblings or, you know, cause some friction within their tribe. And so, I love the setup and the flashbacks. It really helped paint the picture for us of who JD is and his past.
Yes. So they're told at the top of this hike that they're going to be making a choice at the bottom of it. And they say they tried to coordinate it ahead of time, but it didn't seem to work out very well. The choice is you can protect your vote or risk your vote. I've seen some people say like this might have been a little too complicated for the, you know, regular audience. I don't think I agree. I think for the most part it was like I missed at the beginning exactly how it worked. I figured if even just one person protected, that anybody that risked would lose their vote rather than the other way around. And so it was more likely that you lost your vote than not. But then as time went on, they made it clear that no, if you risk your vote and somebody protects, then you get a vote, not the other way around. So it actually, as the Westerosi Ninja in the chat says, wasn't actually a pure prisoner's dilemma here, because it worked in a different way. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting. And I do feel like it was balanced well, because if they had done it in a way where if you risk your vote, you lose your vote more often than not, as opposed to the other way around, Then Danny's decision is just the default. Like only a bad player would choose to risk your vote in a spot where you most likely are going to lose it. That's what we've seen in other seasons of other shows. They present these sorts of things all the time where it's like, you're just providing an avenue for somebody to make a mistake. And if they don't, then it just completely flops. This was, I thought, a properly balanced thing. We're going to talk about more of how, you know, things have been properly balanced, I think, when it comes to the shoot your shot twist as well. So I liked it. And I think that, even if you didn't fully understand it in the moment, they really didn't, you didn't have to until the very end when they further explained it. And really the end result is all that matters.
Exactly. I think what the confusing part was the explanation. I think they used too many words to describe what was happening, because I remember being confused as they read the instructions, but then right after I was like, oh, I'll protect, you're good. I'll risk, not good. If it's a split decision, then the people who risk their vote get an extra vote. It was that simple, but that's not how it was written out to them to explain the rules, which is what made it confusing.
Yeah. For me, it was the second Danny said, I'm going to protect, which means if Xander and JD risk their vote, they're going to receive an extra vote. I was like, oh, I thought it worked the other way.
Yeah.
But I got it at that point.
And kind of going back to Danny choosing to protect, I think he chose because he liked JD and Xander. Like, I think he thought, like, these are solid guys. You know, if we all protect, we're fine. But if I protect and they end up getting something good, that won't be so bad, because I could, you know, if, you know, come merge, they're still here. I could see it being a positive thing because I like those guys. They seem, you know, they seem nice. And so I think he did it. And so, you know, he could be fine. You know, it's a small tribe. He needs his vote. But if it ended up benefiting them, he wasn't mad about it.
Yes. And he says he doesn't want to lose any loyalty as well. I think he was thinking about it from the lens that I was thinking about it initially, which is it's just not worth the risk to lose your vote. It just puts a big target on you. He just wanted to play this one safe. He took enough risks by, you know, doing the bucket, by coming here in the first place. It was time to fold his hand and play another day. I like the call by him. I'm not going to fault him for this. I don't think he likely needs this extra vote in the short term. You know, maybe he's going to wish he had it in the long term, but look, even if he had gone for it, then he would have lost his vote here. And that exactly would have been worse for him. So don't hate this decision by him at all. But I also think that ultimately I would have done what Xander did here and risk it, given the risks were not that great in the first place. Xander, says that, he's going to go for this. He's going to risk his vote. He says if he does this for his tribe and he comes back empty handed, people would be worried that he got something for himself. Right. Mm-hmm. So He's going to just tell the truth and he's going to come back hopefully with something to show for it. And hopefully they will believe him. We also hear from JD that he says, great decisions have been decided by eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Yeah. They never come back to this, but it implies to me that he decided via eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Yeah.
And then lied about it.
Right. I will say that I did not expect Xander to risk it. I definitely thought he was going to protect his vote, come back, be honest about it. But I liked him risking it and then being honest because, yeah, it's playing into that narrative of him being truthful. And his tribe now believes, like, we have this extra vote, you know, in the case that we need it at some point. So I don't know why it didn't cross my mind to risk the vote and then tell the truth. I was just thinking, if you risk it, you got to lie about it. But Xander proved it could work.
I was very impressed with Xander and how he immediately was like, okay, this is a prisoner's dilemma. This is how I'm going to approach it. This is how I'm going to say it, sell it to the tribe. Mm-hmm. All of it very, very effective, very well thought through. I was very impressed by this in terms of like what we were able to see with his thought process. Promising, things here from Xander.
Yeah.
Danny is going to tell the truth to his tribe. They believe him. Everything's good there. Then we get to the Green Tribe and JD, I've got a story to tell. he's really just right away just embellishing on like, so I'm sitting in the boat and I'm thinking about how great my hair is.
My hair is blowing in the wind.
Even better hair than me. The way that they edit this story really makes it feel like he did not tell it very well.
Yes.
He claims to have protected his vote. He says, I don't think anybody thought I was lying. We hear from Ricard that I think he's lying. The way that it was edited at the very least, I thought that he had admitted to us that he risked his vote. It wasn't until I rewatched it that I realized they didn't actually expose it until later on. But I was just already so like, dude, you definitely risked it.
Right? there's no way he protected his vote. I was in no way surprised that he had the extra parchment when he went to vote. Cause it was like, if we've learned anything about JD, throughout this premiere, he's going to risk it because why would he be so excited about being on Survivor and then protect his vote? Like for him, that's not the flashy thing to do. The flashy thing to do is risk it. You know, you're on Survivor.
Yeah. It was edited that way because it is possible that this is a Ricard thing and not a whole tribe thing. Mm-hmm. We really only heard negative stuff about JD from Ricard. We got one tiny bit of confirmation in game from Sarah, who was agreeing with him in the moment. Very little from her outside of that. You don't really know exactly how things are viewed here with JD, especially given the fact that there are no votes for JD in tribal, and he is not the option when it comes down to it. So something worth noting there again for JD. We're then going to get to the immunity challenge. Come on in, guys. Right. Okay. Well, Ricard, how are you doing? Okay. Well, okay. Jeff, I've been thinking about it. And I actually don't think you should say guys. And, you know, again, I don't want to spend too much time on this. We're here to talk about the strategy. Again, I'm sure this has been discussed endlessly at this point. It's not even been 24 hours, but I didn't love the way they handled this. I feel like I don't know what Ricard said, in this moment, but I feel like we didn't actually get the reasoning. He get to explain his reasoning on the show, in the edit. And the fact that like he is now going to be taking all this heat, which I have seen, for having this opinion. And Jeff is going to really like be like, okay, there it is. I wanted to do that too, but thank you for taking all the heat for it.
Right. And then, Jeff, if you wanted to do it so bad, you could have just did it. You didn't have to put it on the tribes on the Survivor players.
I think generally the best way to handle this is to, if you feel like you want to change how you say a thing, just change it.
Yeah.
If you want to make it like an educating experience for the audience, you want to make headlines about your decision because you want to bring it up and make it a conversation, then you can say to the cameras, so I know, audience, that you guys have heard me say you guys a lot, but I'm going to make a change because of X, Y, and Z. Don't put it on the contestants, you know. And then, yeah. You know, he does say, and I did enjoy this. He says,
it's at Jeff Probst on Twitter. I'll probably never read it anyway.
I love that because that is very me vibes. complain away. Probably not going to read it anyway.
You mean after every podcast, you don't go to your mentions and see what everyone said?
Yeah. That's after 7 years of this,
right?
You kind of stop. I did enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think from Ricard's perspective, he did say early in the episode that his partner or his husband is a transgender pregnant man. Mm-hmm. So that helped shine light on kind of his perspective on Ricard's perspective. So I think, you know, in terms of generalizing by saying guys, I think that's kind of where Ricard was coming from, and that some people may not like it. Some people may like it. Why not just avoid it and say, come on in? There are so many options. I mean, and I've seen that, like you said, it's out there, but there's just so many options. Survivors, yeah. Come on out.
And like very much in defense of Ricard as well, not that he necessarily needs defending, but my read on this is that I don't think he would ever have said anything if Jeff mm-hmm. hadn't asked.
Yeah.
Once Jeff asks you your opinion on a thing, it, you know, it now is it's now on you to like, if I don't say anything, then that's me kind of like say, that's kind of me saying something. That's yeah. me saying I agree to this when I mm-hmm. don't actually fully agree to it. And it's not something that I would come out and be like, hey, you should stop using that word. But if I am asked, now I have to tell you because I have to speak my own piece here, and I can't speak to something that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was just a weird situation, but
yeah, it was like I understand Jeff wanting to talk to us. Like he used that moment to like say like, okay, I'm looking at the camera. There were so many other things he could have done. So many other things. Hey, play along, game within a game. Go to the website right now. You know, like there were many opportunities where he could have looked at us and said something, and it did not have to be with this phrase. Mm-hmm.
But we do get something that I did enjoy, which is that there's a new twist. It's the shot in the dark die. What happens here is that everyone gets a die that they do not roll. They just place in a bucket, in a jar. But basically everyone gets one. And at some point throughout the season, you have the opportunity to, when you go to vote, choose not to vote. And instead, drop your die in the jar. Now, I assume how this works is that Jeff takes the die out of the jar and rolls it for you. Because they were talking about that on the know-it-alls last night. And I was like, wouldn't you just roll it, right? Jeff would just roll it.
Yeah, but then that's the person trusting that Jeff is going to roll it and not say like, oh, you didn't land on safe.
Well, I mean, sure, everyone can see what the result is. Hell, she'll roll it in front of everyone, right?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes and then.
What I assume happens is that, you know, Jeff comes out with the jar of votes, and then he's also got the die jar. And he's going to open up the die jar and be like, did anyone put any dies in here? No. And we don't see it when it doesn't happen. But when they do put, oh, look, there's one in here. Who put this in here? It was this person. All right, here, I'm going to roll it.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay, I like that a lot more than what I was thinking.
Well, look, I might be wrong.
Yeah.
but this is interesting. It definitely adds some extra strategic elements to the game. I know they talked about it a little bit last night on the Know-It-Alls, but definitely adds more incentive to keep people blindsided. Do not let them know that they're going to be voted out. Because if they know, then they can play their die. Something else I think that it will likely end up impacting is who has played theirs and who hasn't. Because if you know that, for instance, let's say Sarah had played her die and let's say it worked, let's say it didn't work, let's say she's in it anyway, but she's already played her die. She no longer has her die. If now she gets to the merge and people are looking for who are we going to put our votes on? let's put it on somebody who definitely doesn't have their die because they can't use that 1 in 6 chance. But if there are idols in play, you can think, well, let's play our idol on the person who doesn't have the die because that's where people might put their votes. And so you can start to see different ways this can really impact things. It also encourages more split votes because any moment, any one player can roll that die, have a 1 in 6 chance. And even if it's a 1 in 6 chance, you still want to probably have that extra vote or two elsewhere. I also like that you have to give up your own opportunity to vote. So it's not so, doesn't handcuff you so badly that you need to split your vote with like two extra votes every time or whatever. So I really like how this is balanced. I'm excited to see the implications of it strategically as we go through the season.
Yeah, especially we even saw it on the premiere of Sarah saying, should I use my thing? Should I use my thing? And, you know, in that moment, trusting Shan enough, trusting like doing her saying no and not using it. I was like, okay, wow, we are already seeing the effects of this, you know, something so powerful. We were still able to see two blind sides this episode.
Mm-hmm. So we then are told that only one tribe is going to be immune in this challenge, just the winning tribe. And the two losing tribes are going to forfeit their flint and they can win it back at the next immunity challenge. Then, you know, we go through the immunity challenge. I don't usually spend too much time on these. We saw that green had the lead, but they did not take all the puzzle pieces out. And blue is going to come from behind and win. I saw from Sarah that, according to her, she was kind of in charge of putting the puzzle together. Shan was in charge of taking the pieces out of the bag.
She kept telling
people that she was missing pieces and they were telling her, no, you're not. And then she was the one that looked and finally found that there was a bag full of pieces still. If that is an accurate retelling of what happened, then she really got shafted here in terms of, you know, you messed up the puzzle.
Right. And I think that from her perspective, she was thinking it's because they were thinking that she messed up the puzzle. But even take the puzzle away, I think she still would have been in danger.
Mm-hmm. It seems like that as well. You never fully know.
Right.
But ultimately, blue wins, which means yellow and green are going to tribal. So we get to the campaigning segment of the episode. And over at the yellow tribe, Liana and Tiffany want Abraham out because he wants Tiffany out. We hear from Abraham that he wants Tiffany out. Keep the tribe strong is his, is what he's saying. Voce does tell us that it is a very physical environment, so it's not a terrible argument. But he does not commit one way or the other. This is one of those sort of like slightly misleading, confessionals, I think, where it seems like he's agreeing with Abraham, but ultimately, he didn't actually agree with him if you listen to what he said. Evie says she doesn't want Tiff out because the guys, she says the guys want her out, but she doesn't want Tiffany out. She doesn't want the women to be down a number. She doesn't want this whole, like, keep the tribe strong thing to go down because that would not be good for them, ultimately. And so they pitched
another great observation by Evie.
They pitched to Voce that they should not underestimate Abraham. They say that to us again, they want to go deep with Tiffany. She is valuable for their game. And Voce says to Evie that he loves Tiff and he doesn't want to see her go. But there is, you know, a case to be made for what Abraham is saying. Tiffany says she feels very good about tonight, but she doesn't want to be overconfident. So she goes out and looks for an idol, and she's right next to where Jeff put the advantage.
She like looks in the branch that's to the left of it, but doesn't look in the actual spot. I was like, oh, why did you, what happened? I was definitely rooting for her to find it.
So we also hear from Evie that they said at one point that they were like, you know, 50-50 on whether they've convinced Voce to come with them. It seems like Voce was the person that they were going for the most. And that he was kind of the linchpin of the whole situation. And that by getting Voce, they probably got Xander as well. Hard to know for sure, though, at this point. We then head over to the Green Tribe. Sarah's upset that she lost the puzzle. She thinks it's going to be her that goes home. Ricardo says he wants JD out, and he's worried because he doesn't think Sarah's safe because she messed up the puzzle. He pitches it to Jeannie, who says she's on board. We know that's
in
not the
most reluctant way. Mm-hmm. Like, it, even just the small clip that we got, you know, she's like, yeah. It seems so noncommittal, but like, I'm agreeing because why would I not agree? And, you know, then you have Ricard. Yeah. Okay. Jeannie's locked in. She's so for this. It's like, I did not get that vibe.
He goes to Sarah and Shan and says, Jeannie's on board. And then Brad comes in. He's like, just the guy I want to talk to. And now he's walking. No, he's right here. And he says, and then Brad says straight to Shan and Sarah that they're both on the table for him. That he says, JD, maybe he can go, but he shouldn't go now. And there's just something about Brad that he just seems so, I mean, Sarah even said it. It's like he's coming straight from the year 2000. Like, like that's how he is playing the game. Mm-hmm. And he is, he's talking about trying to perform, like, you know, challenge performance. And, you know, Sarah is concerned. She thinks she's going to have to play her die.
Yeah. This is hilarious from Brad because he didn't read the room at all. Like, him not recognizing saying Sarah or Shan right there to them, like in a group of four, would come off to them in a negative way. Like, wow, you think it's one of us rather than just like, oh, well, maybe let's just say another name or let me just agree to what y'all are talking about. I walked into this conversation. So why am I offering up information? So I thought that was hilarious. I saw someone in the chat said, you know, giving very like Keith Nail vibes.
Yeah. So Brad is going to let JD know, hey, they're throwing your name out there. JD's like, what? Seriously? He's like, not excited about this. JD says, I need to go with Brad, Jeannie, and Shan to vote out Sarah. And this, given what happens in tribal, seems to be the majority group here. To me, it seems like, Ricard has been forced into this majority vote as well, and that he is probably on the bottom of this tribe moving forward, at least from what I can tell. Shan is going to talk to Brad. He says that he trusts her to the end and that they should vote Sarah out. She says to us she has all the information, she just needs to make a decision. She asks Jeannie who she wants to go, and Jeannie says, I genuinely don't know. She says, if I get the person I want out tonight, it puts me in a really good spot to maintain control in the game. So there's a lot to unpack here with the Green Tribe in terms of what's actually happening. It seems pretty clear to me. And again, based on some of the, you know, exit interviews with Sarah, Sarah felt like she had a three person thing going with Ricard and Shan. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she did. But ultimately, Shan was working with everyone, and Sarah knew that. But she kind of felt like, okay, but we're still cool.
Yeah,
she doesn't have to get rid of me. And Shan, it seems, is also working with JD, Jeannie, and Brad as a kind of four. Mm-hmm. And I think she ultimately decided it's better to go with this four, where she's got a thing with Brad individually. She's probably got a good relationship with Jeannie individually, and she's got a great relationship with JD individually. Versus, probably at least Ricard and Sarah, maybe a little bit tighter than her and Sarah. And so I think that's why she's telling us in the confessional, if I get the person out I want, meaning Sarah, I think, she's going to maintain control in the game. I think that was what she was initially thinking. Now, my biggest thing is, why did she change her mind and then change it back? And we'll try to figure that out once we get to tribal, I guess.
Right. That wasn't clear to me whatsoever. It was like, even at tribal, was it like she was actually changing her mind, or it was putting on a stunt to make it seem, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll try to figure it out once we get there. First, we have to go through the Yellow Tribes tribal. Jeff even says, I caught this on the second watch. I did not catch it on the first one. He says to us right before the tribe comes in, he goes, first tribal, here we go.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hey, yeah. Jeff.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. I was like, okay, keep it. That's the kind of stuff, like the kind of communication I want. Keep it coming.
Yes.
Leave out decision making for the tribes.
Yes. So, not a whole lot from the tribal portion itself. Jeff even says that Abraham just said a whole lot of nothing by saying a whole lot of words.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, Jeff. That's what we talked about in the Survivor Countdown. Is tribal really even worth it at this point? We'd always get like, we tend to get like nuggets of entertainment from tribal, but I don't know about anybody else. The second the challenges come on my screen, I tap out for a little bit until near the end, if it's an immunity challenge. And then the second tribal comes up, I kind of tap out. And if something exciting is happening, I'll be like, ooh, okay, 16.7%. Okay, I'm listening. Yeah. But otherwise, I'm just kind of waiting for the vote. So we did get the 16.7% correction, which is a lot more in line with the voce that we thought we were going to get.
Yes.
If we're being honest.
Exactly.
We'll see about that one. And we hear from Xander. Xander says, I want to show the other tribes how strong and together we are. And he's, again, that very calming sort of group oriented presence. Mm-hmm. You know, still really like what I'm seeing from him so far. Xander's also who, the extra vote.
Yes. Who would have thought that Voce would go to the first tribal and not be on the table?
And not me.
Not me.
Hashtag Team Grenade.
Right. So I will say I was impressed with that. Yes, I'd love the 16.7%. But yes, it was nice to see Xander get that. Yeah, I was like, I really didn't learn much from this tribal, except the fact that Abraham was finally kind of seeing how he was perceived because of it being called out. I think before that moment, he had no idea that's how anyone thought.
Mm-hmm. So in a 5-1 vote, Abraham is voted out. He says, didn't see that one coming. good blindside. And you know what? I actually really loved the way that he went out. He says in his sort of exit interview on the island, he's, I wish them all the best of luck. They're all great people. Like, yeah. No hard feelings. Mm-hmm. Seems like a really great guy.
Solid guy, for sure.
Yeah. We then get to the Green Tribes tribal. And we cut like right into it.
Yeah.
Ricard says, we're just genuinely just chill. Here. We're not even fake chill, like coming from Ricard based on the edit. I don't know about that one.
I am not. I can literally show you his facial expression 90% of the time that we saw him, and then it's totally the opposite of the word chill. So yeah. I was like, I don't know who he's trying. I don't know if he's trying to convince the other people on the tribe that things are good, no concerns, I'm not concerned about anybody, or he just wants to come off as a strong tribe to Jeff. I just thought it was a very interesting statement.
Yes. They go, hey Jeff, what's up with the one immunity, bro? Yeah. then what sets off the live tribal is that Sarah says to Shan, I'm scared. And Shan says, me too. So Sarah says in an exit interview that prior to getting to tribal, before they left, she really pitched hard against Brad to Shan, trying to use his mistake as ammunition that, hey, he said our names to our faces. Are you really okay with that? And so my best guess is that she was able to put enough fear into Shan in the moment about Brad that, like, mm-hmm. Hey, you think he trusts you? Because again, there was a brief scene of them saying hey, we're in it together to the end, like they had something. But maybe, you know, Sarah was able to convince her to second guess herself and be like, maybe I should not be making this call. Maybe I should be getting rid of Brad. I have mm-hmm. She has options. She's bonded with everyone in the tribe at this point.
Right.
So it seems as though in the moment she changes her mind. And I did consider the option that you said, Asia, as well, which is that maybe this was all a ploy to
prevent
him from using the dye. But to me, what sold it as not a ploy is that she genuinely, in a private conversation with JD, is like, nah, it's Brad. It's really Brad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, why would she actually be pushing for that if it wasn't the real story. It seems like she genuinely was second guessing the path that she was choosing.
Yeah, that is a good point. And I also, like, who's going to tell JD that this was a private conversation? Because this man was so loud. Like, at every moment, I was like, does he know how to whisper? We can hear him. Like, there's mics. It's going to make the edit. Don't be concerned about that. But it was like, he was concerned for himself, but also wanting to make it a moment that he was being so loud about it. Even in his conversation with Shan, is like, Shan is here. And JD's like, but okay, this is a live tribal. What do you want to do? Do you want to go Brad? Do you want to go Sarah? I was like, oh my gosh, shh, calm down, lower your voice a little bit. But I was just like, it was killing me how different their volumes were when they were talking, because just JD was on 1,000 mm-hmm. as always.
Shan says to Ricard, she goes, what are you doing? Yeah. He says, are you changing your mind? She says, I don't know. And then JD's like, are we about to make this a live tribal? Like, oh boy.
So excited.
So Shan whispers to Ricard, Brad. And he says, yes, he's down. So then Ricard goes to JD and says, hey, we're going to do Brad. And JD's like, okay. And then JD gets up and he goes to Shan and he says, getting rid of Brad is a terrible idea. What are you guys thinking? Yeah. And she says, what I'm worried about is you and me in this game. I'm with you. You have to trust me. And he says, I'm willing to do whatever you want. Which one do you want? And then she whispers back and we don't hear what she says. And he says, all right. And he walks back like he's upset.
Yeah.
And then Sarah says, do I need to play my thing? And Shan says, no, do not play it. Then Brad's like, I don't understand the paranoia. Like, what's going on, JD? Are we cool? JD's like, yeah, we're cool. Nothing's wrong. That's what we saw. That's what we heard.
Literally the only chime in we get from Jeannie is like, yeah, me too. We're cool. Yeah. You cool? I'm cool. Me too. That's it.
So my best guess here is, again, that Sarah actually broke through to Shan for a moment. Shan considered flipping it, talked with JD. He perhaps convinced her back over. We shouldn't mm-hmm. do Brad, but then said, look, I'm willing to do whatever you want though. And she said, no, you know what? You're right. We should stick with Sarah. And that's where it went. And then maybe he went back and he was upset because it had changed in the first place. Right.
Yeah.
They had to do all of that. That's my best guess. I guess my next best guess is that it was all a ploy still. And just the way that it was edited, it was confusing mm-hmm. and it made it seem like it wasn't. And that maybe, you know, if you think about it, maybe the only times she's really campaigning for Brad is when she's in front of Sarah. And as soon as she goes, sends Sarah away.
Right.
They were still kind of talking about making a flip, but they didn't actually say Brad's name at that point. And maybe it was just an elaborate play, but that, you know, that starts to get a little bit like out of the realm of possibility to me.
Right.
It's a little bit complicated to have that whole act as your first tribal just to avoid one die every time. It makes the most sense that they did just genuinely, she just genuinely was like, maybe I want to change this.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not going to.
Yeah. And I think we'll find out with the next episode, because we have been getting that from her in terms of what she's thinking, the fact that she's aware that she's in with everybody and is telling everybody that. So hopefully we get that from her next episode.
Yes. So JD does, in fact, get his extra vote, and the votes are going to fall 4-1-1. One vote for Brad, one vote for Ricard, and then four votes for Sarah. Jeannie voted for Ricard. This to me seems pretty obviously a split vote situation in case Sarah uses her die. And again, just further evidence to the fact that that Ricard seems to be on the outs here of this tribe, especially now that Sarah is out. Shan, though, does seem upset as mm-hmm. Sarah is leaving. I don't know if that is just a face she's putting on for Sarah in the moment,
right,
or if she genuinely feels like, did I make the right call there? And she's second guessing it again. I'm not sure. But that's basically our episode.
Yeah. I will say I was totally convinced Brad was leaving. So I was blindsided as well, but yeah, we'll see if I don't think it was, like, for Shane's sake, I don't think it was a terrible move, especially the fact that the four of them are on the same page and maybe Ricard is on the bottom. So I think, you know, it'll play out okay, depending on, you know, what she was really thinking.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we have. We did have a couple of secret scenes. Nothing very informative, unfortunately. Yeah. We saw in the Yellow Tribe post the sweat challenge that Voce and Xander were treated like heroes. I did really like this from Voce in the secret scene when he came back from the sweat challenge, getting the supplies for them. He comes back. They're all like, you guys did such a great job. And he is actually very complimentary of them. He said, whoa, you guys have made so much progress. Like, I expected to come in here and see tools, but you guys have done so much here.
Yeah.
And I just thought he seemed very socially savvy in that moment, which, you know, is kind of starting from a low bar, but, I was impressed by it. And they talk about feeling really great, mm-hmm. until they could not build a fire,
until
the next day, when Tiffany
was
the one, to build that fire.
I was proud of Tiffany, and the fact that it wasn't it wasn't publicly acknowledged, at least it didn't make the episode, that she had successfully made the fire. We just had Abraham's perspective of her not pulling her weight. And I was like, look, she made the fire when no one else could.
Then on the Green Tribe, again, not much. We see Brad is ready to compete. JD is pumped about competing. JD talks about loving Joe, and we get a Joe flashback, and loving Woo, and we get a Woo flashback. It's very strange. But we also saw JD and Brad chilling and like talking about the challenge, being excited about it. And Sarah is in the middle of the two of them. Like, they're not even acknowledging her presence. They seem to have a bond, and they did not seem to be on the same page as Sarah, which is not super surprising considering where the vote ultimately goes. And then on the Blue Tribe, it just seemed like they were all very team oriented. There wasn't really anything from that one.
Completely washed out from the sun.
blind us here with Asia's camera.
Exactly.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, this seems like a good time to maneuver over to the stock watch portion of this podcast. We're going to go through each player one by one and give them a rating based on, again, how well we think they're doing in the game. We're going to talk about the edit. We're going to talk about them as players, but the rating is going to primarily be based on the game. And we'll see what we can do from all of that as Asia fixes the sun situation. So how I want to formulate this is that I'm going to separate the players out into their tribes. And then I have my own ratings. I don't know what Asia has done, but we're going to go in the order of how I rated them from the lowest rating on the tribe to the highest rating on the tribe, and then sort of see what we can do from there. And I also have I've brought up the photos of the players as we talk about them in case you need a reminder visually if you're watching this video version of the podcast. So we're going to start with the Blue Tribe, the tribe that did not go to Tribal. We know the least about them. So we're going to try to do our best and figure out what's going on there. On the Blue Tribe, for me, Nasir was at the bottom of the Blue Tribe. Now, when it comes to, again, these rankings or ratings, for me, it's some combination of their long-term prospects to win this game. You know, how likely are they to be our ultimate winner based on the game they're playing? Their short-term safety in the game. How likely are they to survive the next couple of rounds, given their current position? And then also, how well did they play in this episode? You know, what kind of moves did they make? What kind of decisions did they make? Did they do something that I didn't agree with? Did they do something that I did agree with? And stuff like that. So, for me, it starts with Nasir here in the Blue Tribe. And, based on what we saw, I gave him a 3 out of 10. I feel like, you know, the average is 5. The 5 is neutral rating. I don't know much about them. There are a couple people I gave 5 because I have no idea. But what we saw from Nasir was, pretty much only his mistakes. We saw the, you know, the over enthusiastic, let's make a Final Four. They're definitely not going to finish. It did not seem great to me. He seems like he's going to be the first boot on this tribe. And we did not see him develop any relationships so far. This was not a good episode for him, and it's not looking super great. What did you think?
Yeah, okay. So I'm a little bit higher on Nasir, slightly. I think he's a 4. If we're thinking 5 is the average, because I think the fact if they had gone to Tribal this episode, he definitely first boot. But I think it helped that they won the immunity challenge, because now that he has a little bit more time to try to develop relationship and show his worth through in challenges, which I think matters to people like Danny. And so I think it might, if they were to lose the next challenge, it would be okay, that Abraham mindset of let's see who's not pulling their weight. And it's really tough to say because we haven't seen anything from Heather. Like for me, I would think Heather is at the bottom of this tribe for the pure fact that we didn't even see enough from her to even have a conversation with someone else on the tribe. And so it's just like, okay, is she giving nothing, or, you know, or things, the vibes are great and, you know, she's doing fine. So that's the only reason I think that like she would be below Nasir. But yeah, I would say Nasir is like the 5th from the bottom.
All right. So next up, I had Erica, actually. I had Erica, and I gave her a 5, just an average, just very neutral rating, primarily because I saw next to nothing about her game, where she stands. I don't know where she's positioned in the tribe. I don't know what she's like as a player. Literally, the only thing I have to go off of is the fact that she seemed to be somewhat with Nasir when it came to like, oh, that is sketchy. So maybe she's with Nasir at the bottom of the tribe. Like that's all I have. I have nothing. And so this is one of the people I have the least amount of information on. And we just had to go neutral on this one for me.
Yeah, for Erica, I'm thinking 5 times a million. No, yeah, she's 100 times a million time happy rating for how happy she is to be there. But yeah, I definitely agree with 5. She's very even keel, but I don't think she would be one of the next boots.
Mm-hmm. So next for me, this should not be surprising either. We're just going to speed through some of these. We have Heather, who I also gave a 5. I think Heather is the person I heard the least from in this episode. Edgic wise, it's really not looking great for Heather. But player wise, I have no idea. I have absolutely no clue. So, no real rating here. It's just a neutral 5.
Yeah, I'm going to
put her slightly above Erica is that, again, I saw Erica siding with Nasir, which may be the tiniest indication that she may be with Nasir. That's it.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm going to go a 3 for Heather. Even because watching the immunity challenge, there wasn't even anything that stuck out for me in regards to like her performance and an ability to kind of contribute competitively. So and then the fact that we saw nothing. So I'm settling at a 3 for her.
All right. Then I had above Heather, Sydney. And I gave Sydney a 6, just slightly above average here. I'm still not entirely sure where to go with Sydney. Again, this tribe in general is going to be the toughest to rate. But I did like that she correctly did not want to take a risk with the boat. I think that was a smart call, to not want to be somebody. She was able to recognize that it could put her in hot water. She also is the one to rat Nasir out to Deshaun, which implies that she knows how to use information, or at least could imply that she knows how to use information. She may be in tight with Deshaun and Danny, which I think is a good position in this tribe. If she's with them and they're against Nasir, then they probably have the numbers on that side and she'll probably be safe in the short term. So, it was slightly above average here for Sydney so far. I know a lot of people are still kind of skeptical of her as a player, and I will remain skeptical moving forward, but that's what I've got.
Yeah, I will agree with a 6 because I see her as higher than Erica, because with her telling Deshaun, I feel like that was in her ability to gain some trust and build on that relationship, because she's like, okay, this one little bit of information, I'm helping you by telling you about it. So I think that helps her. But otherwise, there wasn't really anything else that we could go off with her.
Mm-hmm. Number 2 in the tribe, between Danny and Deshaun, I went with Danny, actually. I went with Danny as the number 2 pick here. Yeah. Now, edgic-wise, right, based on the edit, Danny is getting all of the content in the edit. Danny is the one telling us all these things. Deshaun was barely in the edit. And so in terms of, like, who's probably more likely to win, based on the edit, it's probably Danny. But based on what I saw in the show of how they were playing the game, Danny seems to me like he is a bigger target than Deshaun. Danny seems to me like somebody who, is going to be looked at a lot more. Deshaun is the person who Sydney was talking to when she ratted out Nasir, which means it may be possible that she just felt more comfortable talking with Deshaun. The fact that that Deshaun is in an alliance, a tight alliance with Danny, means that they're both probably on the top of this tribe. So I do like them both, but I think I'm going to give the edge to Deshaun. I actually gave them both 7s, but for me, Danny gets a 7 here. I like that that he is in with Deshaun. I like that he has probably Sydney. It seems like the tribe trusts him. He was able to tell the truth to the tribe and they believed him. And protecting his vote shows some restraint, on his part. Again, willing to take risks, but also willing to know when he needs to fold his hand, and retreat back, and show some restraint. So I like what I saw from Danny overall, and I gave him a 7.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would definitely see Danny over Deshaun, only because I feel like I liked what I saw more from Danny, and I would need to see more from Deshaun to kind of put him at Danny's level, where I see Danny as a 7 and I would see more Deshaun as a 6, just because I like that Danny is kind of trying to take a back seat, but still pulling his weight, by, you know, doing the water, by saying, look, I'll go take one for the team and go on the boat. So I just really liked Danny's temperament and the fact that he can downplay his physicality because he's able to not present himself as this like super dominant football player. So that's why I think he's at the top of this tribe. He just seems super likable. I think it, with Danny and Deshaun, it could come down to who is more likable at some point. And that's why I think Danny's more likable.
It's very possible. So I put Deshaun up at the top here. I gave him a 7 as well, but just a smidge above Danny personally. I feel like, again, the alliance with Danny, who's probably a bigger target than him, I do like that. He is the one that Sydney went to. I also like that he, like Sydney, didn't want to go on the boat. I generally feel like this early in the game, it is a big risk to jump on that boat. And the fact that Danny volunteered and that Deshaun was like, you do it, dude, is exactly the kind of dynamic I think that would be beneficial to Deshaun in the long term. He seems very solidly positioned in the game. Again, if for some reason they don't have the numbers, I feel like, Danny is probably the juicier target of the two of them, although he is also potentially a better contributor to the tribe. So that could put Deshaun in some danger. But again, it was pretty close for me. And I went with a 7.
Gotcha.
And you went with a 6 for Deshaun.
Yes, I did go with a 6 for Deshaun. Yes. Because yes, he still seems at the top of that tribe, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Green Tribe as we're going to have some more data for these players. So it should be a little more interesting. This was actually tougher for me than I thought to figure out who is at the bottom of the Green Tribe. Ultimately, I did go with the person that was voted out, Sarah. We are going to be rating the players that are voted out. And just kind of like, you know, how obviously their long-term prospects and short-term prospects are nil. But we can rate them on how they played the episode. I don't fault Sarah too much for the, for being voted out here. If the theory is correct that she nearly flipped Shan at the last minute, then like kudos to her because, that's a good effort. I mean, that's a way to go out, right? However, I think that ultimately, based on her, exit interviews, she probably was just a little bit too passive in the game. She didn't develop enough connections, social connections, in her tribe to survive. I went with a 4 for Sarah. Decently. I don't think she made any like super bad mistakes. Just kind of like nowhere to hide on a 6-person tribe. It wasn't even her fault that they lost the immunity. So it's hard to really, really like fault her here.
Yeah, it's tough because I'm trying to see if I agree with a 4, if I would go lower, because I think the call to go on Brad wasn't the correct way to shift eyes. Like, why didn't she stick with JD as the target?
Well, I mean, given that they nearly switched to Brad, I feel like it probably was the right choice, right? Because that is the one that said Shan's name. And it seemed like the JD thing was going nowhere.
True. That is a good point. So I'll agree with the 4 for Sarah. I feel like, teaming up with Ricard was a good move because he is very aware to what other people are doing. She just got a rough break. So,
all right. Well, next up, the second least player, second lowest player on the tribe. I went with Brad, I really considered going lower on Brad than even Sarah, just because I feel like Brad has a physicality to him that is going to inherently advantage him at this portion of the game with this kind of tribe. I feel like game wise, strategically, he was making some mistakes. openly telling people to their faces that he wants them out. Including the person who is making the decisions on the tribe, Shan, as saying to her face, "Well, you or Sarah." Clearly, he has some kind of thing with Shan, but clearly, it wasn't enough to have this nearly get him voted out. In a spot where he never even was an option. I mean, he very nearly put himself out of the entire tribe with that move. And what it speaks to me in terms of like who he is as a game player is that he's not a game player.
Right.
Long-term prospects are so bad for this guy, but short-term he seems very safe. And then how he played this, this round, I would say was not great, but he does clearly have some relationships in the game. I also gave him a 4, but I could definitely see this moving down. It's the more we see from him. This is exactly who I thought he'd be as a player. And the more he cements that, probably the lower it'll be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a very low 4 because, so many mistakes. The fact that he almost went home Like you just said, the fact that he almost went home and it was so close, and he shouldn't have even been on the table. Like he did it to himself. His own mouth got him in trouble, and his own just unawareness, if that's a word, did it to him. And so if they go to tribal next episode, he's on the chopping block. And so I just don't think there's a way for him to last past like two more tribals if the green tribe grows. So yeah, very low four.
Yes. So then next up I had just above Brad, in the fourth position overall on the tribe, I put Ricard. Yeah. I feel like I also gave Ricard a four, a higher one, but I did not love what happened here for Ricard. He seems to be at the bottom of his tribe, and for all his maneuvering, it seems like he lost this vote. He lost mm-hmm. a potential ally in Sarah, and also JD found out that he was coming for him, and so JD yeah. no longer trusts this guy. I don't think it's looking very good for Ricard, and if they go to tribal again, I would be surprised if he was not the one voted out.
Same. I feel like if nothing changed from now until the next tribal, it's either Ricard or Brad. Simple as that. There's like, I feel like there's no way around that for Ricard. And it does feel I think he is at the bottom, but I wouldn't say below Brad. Like I would agree he's a little bit higher than Brad. And I would also still agree with a four. I like Ricard. I just feel like he needs to kind of reset. He can't continue with the same game plan of JD has to go. I don't trust him. I don't trust a word he says, because Shan's not having that. Shan likes JD. And so if you're always going to be against JD, you're not going to have Shan's full trust. And so I think in order for anything to change, he needs to kind of reset.
Mm-hmm. So just above Ricard in the third position on the tribe, I put JD, actually. I put JD. Wow. I gave him a five, but it was on the lower end of the five. And that's because he made some mistakes here and there, right? Like he was overenthusiastic. He rubbed some people the wrong way. He's made some enemies. He did not seem to be very convincing in his lie about risking his vote. But he also has some good things. You know, he is very endearing. And for what it's worth, despite the edit really trying to convince us that he's a big doofus and he makes a bunch of mistakes, he does seem to have developed some relationships. And if it is the case that he helped convince Shan to come back around on the Sarah vote, then, you know, very much kudos to him for whatever he said to Shan to get her to go back over, because right. that is a huge win for him. Sarah gone, Ricard on the outs. He's tight with Brad. He's in a much better position in this tribe moving forward than you might have thought. And I think that that his eagerness, even if he is being deceitful, could be enough. Like he is just young enough and naive enough to like, even if they catch him in a lie, he has that out to just be like, ah, I'm sorry, guys. And I feel like he is not in as bad a position as the edit is trying to make him out to be. Overall, I gave him a low five here, and I'm curious to see where he goes.
Yeah, I would disagree in who would be next as, you know, third, I guess third in this tribe at the moment. I would go Jeannie. But that's because I see her as very average at the moment. Mm-hmm. I see her as like just out of five. Where JD, yes, he made mistakes. I see him as a five as well, but a higher five because he has upside. I feel like he is all over the place. He is going 200 miles a minute. But, you know, there are those just nuggets of good gameplay that are sprinkled throughout all of the chaos that I think if Shan can recognize it and kind of hone it in and help him in that way of just like, you don't have to be all over the place. Or, you know, just helping in that relationship that she has with him to kind of call him out on it. Because I think maybe right now he doesn't have a mirror up. He's not able to see all the stuff he's doing. So I think if someone like Shan can call him out on it and rein in, then he very well could easily be a 6 or 7. So yeah, for right now, I would see him as second, and maybe not third.
Yeah. For me, again, for me, it's he's a low 5. And for me, my number 2 here, which is, of course, Jeannie, is a middle 5 because I know next to nothing about her.
Yeah.
I could not move the needle. Like the needle started at a middle 5 and it has not gone anywhere for Jeannie. I have no idea how she is as a player. By default, Jeannie is in the second position on this drive because I think we've seen a lot of bad play from a lot of players on this drive.
Yeah, it's like with her, like the meter is there and it didn't even like start to shake to go one way or another. It just stayed still the whole episode.
And you're the same. You're also at a 5 for Jeannie, I think you said.
Yes, also at a 5 for Jeannie. Yeah.
All right. So then, of course, the number one player on the Green Tribe is Shan. So I have some thoughts on Shan. I love her position. I love the spot she's in. She seems to have the most amount of options in the game, which is always great. She shouldn't have any trouble moving forward and clearly play well enough to win respect in the game. She can definitely win this game in the end. My only thing about Shan is that if it is the case that she was wavering in this tribal, that she changed her mind and then went back, I don't love that. I don't love that in the moment because it doesn't really inspire a lot of trust in the other players. I also don't love it for what it could imply long term. Is she a player that's going to exhibit more indecisiveness moving forward? Hopefully not, but, it's thrown me a little bit off when it comes to Shan. That's the only negative. Overall though, I gave her an 8. I love a player who, is in with every single person on the tribe, was never in any danger of going home, had the complete control over which side she wanted to go with and where she wanted to move moving forward. She chose, what she thought was most beneficial to her. And I think that's going to be great for her moving forward. So, overall, 8, number one on the tribe for sure.
Yeah, she's definitely number one on the tribe. And yeah, I also landed an 8 because I was thinking, okay, if I am at a 7 with Danny, then Shan is an 8. She knew all the information going to this tribal. She knew where everybody's heads was at. She knew that she had the decision in her hands. Everyone trusted her enough to completely explain what they wanted to do. And I think that I don't know why I just picture the next episode. She's just like, so I had to put up this front for Sarah because I couldn't let Sarah know that I was definitely going to vote her out. So I had to make it look like I was wavering. But we may not see that. So if we don't, then okay, I will be a little bit concerned because it shouldn't take just a couple of words from JD to change your mind so quickly. So we'll see. But for right now, with how well positioned she is on this tribe, the fact that she is playing the best on this tribe, I definitely agree with an 8.
All right. I don't know. I don't know if I like going with the bottom player first. So, you know what? I'm just going to call an audible. I'm going to mix it up and you guys can tell me after which you like better. We'll start with the best player on the yellow tribe first this time, and then we'll move down, and we'll see if you like that better. Maybe it's worse. Who knows? For me, cause here's the thing. I feel like it's pretty obvious who the best player, on each tribe is. For the most part, for me, Evie on the yellow tribe is in the best position. She does not seem to have the same like explicitly explained level of control as Shan in her tribe. I do think we can assume based on what we saw that Evie does have Voce, they have Liana, and they have Tiffany. And if that's true and Abraham is gone, do they also have Xander? Maybe not, but they were the one to explain that they all like and trust Xander, so they probably have a good relationship with him as well. They are pretty much given the credit here in the edit, which is good for their edit, but also I think just explaining that maybe they should just be getting credit for this, for the vote, straight up, that they were the ones that helped make this vote happen, that if not for them, Tiffany may have been voted out, but they were able to flip Voce. They were able to get Xander, and the entire tribe voted as a tribe to get Abraham out and keep Tiffany. So I feel like moving forward, they're set up very well. Again, throughout multiple, you know, portions of this episode, there were things that stood out to me that I liked about their game. And so, definitely very high on Evie. I gave Evie an 8 as well.
Yeah, I co-sign everything you just said. The fact that it could have been so easy for Tiffany to just go home. It could have been that anybody but me mentality. And, oh, okay, well, Tiffany's name is out there. Let's just go with Abraham and do it. Evie recognized, no. Tiffany going out right now impacts me, because if Abraham has this mentality moving forward, I'm probably next or the one after that. So absolutely not. So I like that Evie took the game in their hands and made it happen to get Abraham. I fully credit Evie. And then secondly, like Liana. So I totally agree with an 8.
Yes. Then in the second position here on the Yellow Tribe, I actually went with Xander. Wow. I went with Xander for the number 2 spot. And I was obviously between Xander and the next person that we'll talk about. That is, I'm sure, very surprising to everyone.
No idea.
The thing that stood out for me with Xander is not necessarily his position in the tribe, because I don't know what his position is. As far as I know, he's the next out. But given what Evie said about him, I feel like he's probably not. You know, why are we saying that we love Xander? Also, he has the extra vote. Are they really going to vote him out next and then lose that advantage? So I feel like Xander is pretty safe in the short term. He's definitely somebody who can win this game in the long term. And I loved what I saw from him in the episode. The way that, again, the way that he described the prisoner's dilemma, the way that he interacts with his tribe, the fact that we got a confessional with somebody saying, in fact, the best player on the tribe, according to me, saying that that Xander was great and everyone trusts him and likes him. I mean, that to me is all really good. The only thing holding him back from being on the same level as the others is that he doesn't seem to have the same level of control or amount of options in his tribe as people like Shan and Evie. So for me, it was a 7 for Xander.
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely see it similarly with Xander. However, there is that question mark with, okay, Evie, Liana, obviously they're really good. They're in good with Tiffany. Voce is really in good, is in really good with Evie. So then it feels like Xander's on the bottom, but they all trust him. So it's like, what's going to happen in a situation where they go to tribal next week? It seems like he's on the bottom, just optics, but he's so likable. But so I agree with what you're saying, but I'm landing at a 6 more so, because I would like to see more of him building relationships and him having the ability to have some sort of sway. It seems like he's being very agreeable, and I can't even picture him at this point saying, like, even if he has the thought like, okay, I want to get Liana out, I can't see how he would make that happen because he's just so agreeable.
Very fair. Number 3 on the tribe for me, unsurprisingly, should be unsurprisingly, is Liana, who I also gave a 7. I mean, I think she seems to be right there with Evie. Evie is getting a lot of the credit for this stuff in the edit, which, again, like, for me, when Evie gets the credit in the edit, that's very bad for Liana in terms of her edgic potential, right? That tells me that Evie is, you know, it's only been one episode. It's not a done deal by any means, but it tells me that they're trying to give Evie the credit here. And they're not going out of their way to give Liana the credit. And so that tells me edgic wise one thing, but it also tells me strategically that if they're trying to give Evie the credit, that's what I have to go off of. And I have to assume that Evie did do this, based on what we saw. So, given that Evie made this happen and Liana was kind of like on board with it, with Evie, had the same goals and seems to be on top of the tribe with Evie. So those are all great things. She just wasn't the person who actually put the stamp on it herself. But that's fine. I don't think she needs to be. I think she's in a great spot strategically in the game, edit or not. She is the one that rats out Abraham to Tiffany, herself. Mm-hmm. So she seems to also have a good relationship with Tiffany. We don't know what kind of relationship she has with the guys at this point. We haven't seen that on the episode, but I do like, what she's bringing here strategically. And, I think she's in a good spot.
Yeah. I love what we're seeing from Liana, and I also agree with the seven. I think that, with like people like JD and even Xander to an extent, that they are younger than their other tribe mates. But I don't get that vibe from Liana. Yeah. I feel like she presents herself as if, she's that middle ground, like she's maybe late 20s, early 30s. She has a certain level of maturity about her that, I think is going to help other people with how they perceive her. And so it also has to be noted that she's the one that ended up finding the paddle when they were on the boat originally. She's the one that ultimately found the paddle where it was. So I was like, okay, she gets credit for that. And she helped with the puzzle. And so I'm seeing that, she's going to be solid. So I think seven is a safe bet.
Mm-hmm. Number four on the tribe is, of course, Voce. not really to be a negative toward him either. I feel like this tribe seems to have a lot of strong players on it. And I gave Voce a six. It seems like a decent start here for him. I was impressed by, again, the secret scene was the most impressive thing I saw from him, as a player. But he also seems to have a decent bond with Evie, which is a good thing for him. The only problem is, again, if they go to tribal, Evie has expressed that they want to work very closely with Tiffany long term. And they're obviously super tight with Liana. And that means it's either Voce or Xander next.
Yeah.
Assuming Evie maintains control. And why would you vote out Xander, who's not only probably better at competitions, but he also has that extra vote for you? If you make it to a swap or a merge. So I feel like he is in some danger moving forward, but I don't think that's really down to him. I do think that ultimately wrong choice, wrong vote out here to give the women power in this game, assuming that they are working together, which the edit seems to be implying that they are. That is a bit of a mistake, but overall I still think he's doing all right here.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Voce's placement here. And I also agree at a six. I see him and Xander in very similar positions of, they did what they could with the sweat challenge. They are coming off as likable. So I see them playing a very similar game at the moment. And Voce is definitely coming off more likable than I anticipated him to be. So I am impressed and I'm pleasantly surprised and I'm happy about it. Because I think that he'll be very exciting to watch. He knows the game really well and he's not coming off as that over eager, over excited, almost JD like super fan. So I'm very interested to see how he's going to play moving forward.
Yes. Okay. And then finally, of course, we have Abraham, who's at the bottom of this tribe. He was the one voted out. I gave him a three. I feel like, unlike Sarah, there was no kind of last minute push. He was kept in the dark the whole time, and never saw it coming. I don't think he played particularly bad. I'm not giving him a one or a two. I don't think that he like really earned his position as the first boot here. Yeah. But ultimately he was the first boot and he didn't see it and he didn't connect with his tribe mates enough, whatever it is that happened here for him. It just didn't work out and that's it. There's not really a whole lot else to say about Abraham. We didn't really see much.
Yeah. I would unfortunately say a two for Abraham just because he was so in the mindset of all I have to do is say Tiffany, tell a few people, we're good to go. No other concerns, rather than trying to see like, okay, are there other options on the table? Are y'all thinking about anything else? Not so much like being me focused, but concerned about what everyone else was thinking, because that was just showing me that he had a very like he was very focused on his own view of the tribe and thinking everybody else had that same view. So, and he was so caught off guard. He wasn't expecting his name to even show up once. So I was just like, oh no, 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 no. Great guy. Just Survivor's probably not his thing. So that's all.
Oh, you know what? I'm completely, you guys are right. I missed Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Sorry,
yeah.
Skipped over Tiffany accidentally.
Yeah.
So Tiffany, I gave, you know, I gave Tiffany a six as well. In fact, I think, you know, between Tiffany and Voce, you know, honestly, I'd probably put her above Voce. I'd probably put Voce fifth, below Tiffany. She was obviously targeted by Abraham, but protected immediately. Like no danger of going home, it seems, ultimately. You know, I think she's doing a pretty good job. She seems more protected than Voce moving forward. So yeah, I'm gonna have to say a six for Tiffany and just above Voce for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm gonna go a five only because I feel like her position in the game is no doing of her own, but more so Evie and Liana having the ability to kind of recognize how beneficial Tiffany could be, having Tiffany there. So that's all. And the fact that, you know, she was brought up, that was no fault of her own either. But I just think she's just middle of the ground, like middle ground right now for me. I can't really justify evenly rating her with Xander and Voce because they've actively done things. And I think once Tiffany becomes active, I could see her definitely being higher than a five. I just didn't see her doing anything actively.
All right. Well, that's it. We got through them all. Look at that. thank you guys for hanging out with us. I would say, so what I want to do at the end of this as well, I don't want to call out the worst player of the night. Because that's not as fun. But I want to call out the best player overall. I gave two players eights. I gave Evie and I gave Shan, eights. You know, the way I described it might have tipped this off, but I'm going to ultimately give, tip of the hat here to Evie, who I think probably had the strongest performance of the night. Just the only thing that holds Shan back for me is that, what happened at that live tribal. So for me, Evie is going to take the crown here for the episode. Asia, who's your best pick here?
I'm with you for that exact same reason. And I could be, you know, I could be eating my words after next week. We hear Shan saying, this was all so intentional. Yeah. I knew what I was doing. But in the moment, she did seem conflicted. But she could have been deceiving me just as hard as she was Sarah. But with what we know right now, I will definitely agree with Evie. They had such a strong performance in the premiere. I was so impressed. They did great in tribal. You know, that they did great leading up to tribal in order to get the person out that they wanted out. So Evie is just looking so solid.
Yeah, and I also think that that yellow tribe that Evie is on is the strongest tribe game-wise mm-hmm. that we've seen so far. But we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's what we have for you. You know, talking about, you know, this is the premiere episode. I think that there are a lot of people that did not get a lot of content in this episode. A lot of people that I'm already looking at as probably like, I don't know if they're, in the win contention here, but I'm sure we're going to get into more of that as we move forward through the season. Hopefully you guys enjoyed, what we did here, going through the episode as we did rating these players. It's the first time we've ever tried rating Survivor players. And I think it went pretty well. I feel like, we have, you know, it's interesting because there's so much more left to the imagination.
Right.
But I feel like it leads to, you know, a more varied sort of response as well. So,
Fun. And I think it'll be easier for you as the season goes along because we were even able to do it with minimal information with a couple of people. So, you know, once you have all of that data along the way, then, you know, it'll become easier.
Yes.
So nice.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining me here today. Asia, any final thoughts on this, this episode, this premiere of Survivor?
I'm so excited. I think we got everything we needed from a premiere after so long of not having any Survivor on our screens, or the US version at least. I think that, you know, they did it justice. I think that they are, you know, this is a new era of Survivor, as they kept saying, and we're seeing that in different elements. I honestly got chills when they broke the fourth wall and we saw the crew, because I was just thinking of just like, oh my gosh, like there's so much work that goes into this. Like, you know it, but to see it is another thing. So I was just so excited, and so I was just happy to be here talking about it with you.
Yes, thank you so much for being here, Asia.
Yeah,
You know, I watch these episodes live on Twitch every week, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can join me to watch the episodes live. I talk about how I enjoyed the episode after those streams. I'll tell you guys now, I really loved the episode. I gave it a 9 out of 10. I rate everything, guys. It's my life. Very excited to be here this season. Hopefully you guys stick with me all season long. I really tried to dig as deep as possible and really figure out as much as we can about the game and what's happening. So, thanks again for hanging out with us. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. I'll usually tweet out when I go live or do whatever. I have plenty of Big Brother coverage. In fact, I'm going to be jumping onto Twitch very shortly to watch a Big Brother episode and recap that. We also talk about The Circle and plenty of other stuff coming your way. Asia, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, so A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. For those Big Brother fans out there, I joined Taryn on the roundtable this week, so that was a lot of fun. And then also, I will be joining Taryn on the Circle roundtable this weekend, so I'm very excited about that. I've been loving this season.
Roundtables.
Yeah, so many roundtables. There are a lot of roundtables to go around. And then I also co-host Married at First Sight podcast over on Reality TV Wrap Ups. So definitely go check that out about the show Married at First Sight.
All right. Well, thank you guys once more for joining us here this week. And I will see all of you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.